Glory be to God. Amen. Well, praise God. Well, the rest of you that are here, open up your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew, and go to chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Thank you, Lord. I want to let all the kids just roll on, just, and then I want you to really pay attention to something. I told you at the beginning of the service that I believe this is a very needed message for all of us. God put it on my heart a few weeks ago, and I just began to get into the word of it, you know, just a couple of days ago, actually. I've been thinking about it in my mind, but I believe that my job as the pastor and our, all of the other pastors that are ministering, Howdy and Ricky and Rusty Feltz, all four of us, I believe, are here for a purpose. And I think what God's doing in all of our lives, because we kind of tag team on, you know, on some things that God puts on my heart, and those guys are just so submissive to understand the call, understand what God is trying to do through me and what he wants me to deliver, then they back it up and just, I mean, pounce on it and bring some more solid food to it. And y'all get to receive that. And I really appreciate that. You don't know how much it means for when I'm out in the field preaching the gospel of Jesus, for me not to be concerned about what's preached behind this podium. I have seen some very terrible things in the church, you know, as far as church splits and people that feel like they are directed by the Holy Ghost in a direction that might be different from the shepherd, the pastor. And at this church, I want to try to keep everything in order. How many of you know order is a very good thing in the kingdom? You get out of order and things get all messed up. I mean, I think you probably understand that just in families. When a marriage gets out of order in certain areas, then it just opens the door to the enemy. And that's why the epistles talk about give the devil no place. And so as I was really meditating and thinking about what to minister when I get back from Oklahoma, the Lord just, he wants me to open it up with this question. And here it is, and I want you to be honest. How many of you have ever been or right now are just flat tired? Let me see your hand. I mean, that should be everybody. Get your hand up, everybody. Because everybody's going to be tired at some point. I mean, you're just give out. Maybe, I mean, the flesh a lot of times is just give out. And, I mean, it just seems like you're not resting good at night. You know, you wake up many times during the night. Maybe your spiritual life is exhausted, fighting the good fight of faith even, you know, in these days. Seeing all of the things that are going on in our world with the biblical prophecies of wars and rumors of wars before the return of the Lord. I mean, all kinds of things that we're seeing, our country trying to gravitate to the opposite of how it was founded under the principles of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, and going a whole new direction where the majority of the country does not even serve God. I mean, they may know him, but a lot of them have walked away. Just striving to maintain a life in this world and doing it without God, I believe, is a pretty dangerous thing. Opens the door to fear, to doubt, to unbelief. I think that was evident in the last 2 to 3 years now of a pandemic where you still have to wear a mask to get on an airplane. In some states, you still have to have a vaccine to go into a restaurant. All done by fear. Okay. Now, I'm not preaching on fear, but what all this does is tires out a body. And we're going to talk about that because the basis of this message is called rest. And resting is a very important thing in the kingdom of God. I did one post a few years ago, and I titled it, "Are You Tired?" and had over 100,000 views on that one topic. Because everybody in this place, even if you didn't raise your hand, is tired in some point of your life. And a lot of people are tired right now. I'm talking physically, and I'm also talking spiritually. And so this morning, I believe that God wants to just speak to all of us and help us receive the true word of restoration. Rest. I mean, we need it desperately. I wrote some things down because rest is defined as peace, ease, or refreshment. To rest literally means that we need to trust God. We're resting in what God has already done. But a lot of times we try to do God's job. I mean, we just, you know, instead of just chilling out and calming down and relaxing and knowing that God's already met your need. Remember? You don't have to pray for needs anymore. The Bible says if you'll just walk in it, He's already met the need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We've said it like three times today. You see, there's something about getting proper rest. Now, let's go to the Word of God, and let's just look at the Scripture, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified, Matthew chapter 11, and look at verse 26. "Yes, Father, I praise You that," this is the Amplified again, "such was Your grace's will and good pleasure. All things have been entrusted and delivered to Me by My Father." Now, obviously, in the King James, it's in red, so Jesus is actually talking right here. "All things have been entrusted and delivered to Me by My Father, and no one fully knows and accurately understands the Son except the Father. And no one fully knows and accurately understands the Father except the Son." Now, we all don't have to have a little quick Bible lesson on understanding that the Father is the Son, and the Son is the Father, and the Holy Ghost is the Father, and the Holy Ghost is, you know, and all those things that can confuse a lot of people. So I say it kind of like this. When Jesus sent His only begotten Son, I like to kind of explain it like He took a piece of Himself and sent it to the earth, called the Son, Jesus, okay? So don't let that confuse you. It's all the same, okay? "And anyone to whom the Son deliberately wills to make Him known." Verse 28. "Come to Me," Jesus says, "all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to," say it with me, "rest." Rest. You see, there's something about rest, "and I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls." Now, remember, look at me. Your soul is your mind, where the battle is a lot. That's where the enemy tries to attack most people, in the mind. Because if he can cause you to think negatively, if he can cause you to meditate on something bad, then that's his design of destroying you in some way. Because if you succumb to that thought and you meditate it over and over, it'll come to pass. I mean, in any part of life, if you get into fear in some way and you just meditate it, being scared about something, then you'll just walk in that and you'll be fearful over a lot of things, right? Okay? So that's what your soul is, your mind, your will, your emotions. Now, I deal a lot of times counseling sessions, and yes, I don't counsel a lot just because of my schedule, but we have plenty in here, plenty of people that can counsel, and sometimes it's me, but counseling sessions, a lot of times, I'm constantly dealing with emotional things. I mean, matter of fact, you go to a minister's conference, you always want to leave your wallet in the car. If not, you're going to emotionally give all your money. I mean, because it just feels good, man, when someone gets up and starts preaching the Word of God, for that emotional giving to come into effect. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, because God will still honor it. But you don't have to. You don't have to just give because someone else walked up to the front and gave. I've been in services where the minister would be preaching and someone would just come up and put something in his pocket. And then all of a sudden, there'll be hundreds and hundreds. And sometimes that's the anointing of God, praise God. I mean, because some good things are happening when people can step out in faith. But then there's others, well, I just probably need to get up because the next person got up. You know. And we can do things in an emotional way. And we need to get delivered from doing things with our soulish realm if it's not based on the Word of God. Okay? Now, what are we again talking about, though? We're talking about how God is trying to get people that are overladen and overburdened to get some rest so that He can ease and relieve and refresh our souls. Then He goes in verse 29 and He says, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm gentle, I'm meek, I'm humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest." In other words, everything you do, trust in the Lord Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to take on the burden of someone else. That is Jesus' job. But a lot of times, and I've seen it, when someone will say to someone they love desperately, "Man, I just want God to give me your pain." And I know that's kind of with a great, wonderful heart, but it is incorrect and not biblical in any way. Because Jesus is the one that has the power, the authority, the strength to deal with anything that might be wrong with someone. You're supposed to turn all of those things over onto the Lord Jesus, because if not, you will not get rest. You will take on the burden. I mean, I know my daughter, oh, I wish she was here, because she turned 20 today. I called my wife and I said, "We only have one teenager." Because my daughter's in California right now at some rodeos, and I texted her. I wanted to text her at 7 this morning when I woke up, but it's 5 there. And she's just coming out of the teenage years, so she's still sleepy. Man, the temptation, though, for me to be worried about my daughter being in California. Come on, you Californians know what I'm talking about. I mean, because of people allowing spirits to reign, demonic spirits, by the way, to govern, then it turns a whole state a lot of times into things that we don't live by biblically. Marriage. I mean, things that our California friends has to deal with. And it can make you tired. Well, as you know, they're all moving to Texas. A lot of them. I mean, God's just kind of bringing them. You know why God's bringing them here? Rest. Now, He may send them back. People are like, "I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I want to stay here." But listen to me. All of these things are designed to cause you not to rest. Okay? Now, keep reading with me. Verse 29 again. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle, meek, humble, lowly of heart. You'll find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke, verse 30, is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. Glory be to God. You see, there's something about having rest, because God knows. He knows our bodies. It's designed to rest. We need proper sleep. We need proper nutrition. We need proper exercise. And if you don't get those kind of things, then it tears down the body. So this morning, really fast, I want to give you five things that are the reasons that God wants us to rest. Write them down if you can. The five things that God, I believe, gives us the reason for needing rest is this. Number one, because God rested. He worked for 6 days, y'all, creating the heavens and the earth, creating you and I from the dirt of the ground. He began to speak things into existence and did it for 6 solid days, according to Genesis. And then what did he do on the 7th day? Even God rested. I mean, the one that probably don't need rest, right? Knows the end from the beginning. Knows you before you were even created, knew your name. But yet God still needed rest. Number two, the second reason that we literally need rest is because our bodies get weak and needs to recharge. Matthew chapter 8 talks about the storm, right? And where Jesus was ministering to the multitude of people, thousands and thousands of people, and even Jesus needed to get into a boat and head to the other side, right? The storm came up. The enemy was trying to stop even Jesus from resting. Now, I'm not one of those preachers that think when you're attacked from the devil, you must be doing something right. Because even though that could be true, the devil's going to attack you when things aren't right. He is no respecter of persons. He comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. And he'll do it to an unbeliever, just like he will a believer, y'all. Don't let anybody fool you into thinking that God will not mess with someone if they're not serving the Lord or doing something for God. No, no, no. He will still try to kill them just as well as he tries to steal and kill and destroy you and I. But the good news that we just remembered through what we did earlier, by taking a piece of bread and drinking a cup called communion, is we remembered that the devil has no power, no dominion over you and I as a believer in Jesus Christ. We have the authority to use the name that's above all names. And at the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. But there's something about understanding that the devil's constantly wanting you to not rest, you see. Remember, during that storm, Jesus was asleep in the belly of the boat. He needed rest. And we know the rest of the story, how the disciples said, "Master, we're dying, perishing," he uses in the King James, "and you're in the belly of the boat asleep." Why? Well, because, man, he needed to get recharged. There's something about when our bodies are weak, getting recharged. So the second reason that we need rest is to get our bodies recharged. The third reason that we need to get rest is when we're tired, We make poor decisions. I mean, I don't have to be the only one that could probably give testimonies of trying to make decisions after 10 o'clock at night. But me and my wife, we have decided that we will not make major decisions after 10. You know why? Because we're give out. And we always say something that we don't mean. We always make the mistakes because we're not thinking. Our flesh is give out. So we make poor decisions when we're tired. I read this quote from Vince Lombardi. He said, fatigue makes cowards out of us all. I mean, just being tired. We, again, say things that we don't mean. A great example biblically, and if you want to write it down, go read Genesis chapter 20, 25. It's where Esau literally sold his birthright to Jacob because he was tired and starving. Now, you see it in homeless camps a lot, that people will do anything just to eat. Or if there's an addiction that we see a lot they'll do anything for the addiction. They'll hold a sign on the side of the road. They'll sleep under a bridge. I mean, they'll be in a tent in Austin on, you know, one of the exits or middle ramps. People will be willing to do anything a lot of times. And I know they take advantage of some things and people's emotions, etc. But you see, there's something about not being tired and just getting the strength of the Lord Jesus. Here's the third thing, or the fourth thing that I want to deliver to you that's going to help you. Because if you're not getting proper rest, it's going to be hard to really achieve things in the kingdom of God. I mean, because that's when you make emotional decisions. And you don't have time to make emotional decisions. You need to know that it's based on the Spirit of God. I was telling my friend yesterday that very seldom, unless it's behind this principle, behind the podium or up here preaching, do you ever hear me say, "God said." I've just never been that type, because if God said it and it didn't come to pass, then God usually gets the blame. So I'm not one, even as a minister, to feel like I've got to constantly say, you know, the Lord told me that I'm supposed to do this and that. I just don't do that because, again, if it doesn't come to pass, now I'm not saying that we don't have the mind of Christ and that God doesn't speak to us, because he speaks to me a lot. And I know when it's him. But I'm not one of those people that are constantly saying those things. God said it. Now I might say, well, I feel. I mean, I know I have the mind of Christ, and I may feel it. But at least if it's not God and it doesn't come to pass, then it's my fault. Come on, y'all. You see, there's something, though, about when you get proper rest. Man, you don't have to give your birthright, your inheritance away because you're give out and tired. No, you need to rest and stand firmly on the foundation of Jesus Christ, because he's going to give you the perfect ways out of any circumstance if they're negative. And you don't have to do anything unjust. You don't have to have a potty mouth to get out of a situation. No, you just need to trust God. You see, rest. Rest. Rest is something that is needed in the body of Christ. A lot of times, and this goes into the fourth thing right here, one of the fourth reason that I feel that we desperately need rest is that we can't effectively serve others exhausted. Do you realize that people come to church just to get rest? I understand, man. I understand, because when you hear the Word of God, it's rest for your soul, man. Hopefully, when you come to this church, you don't leave worse off than when you came. I mean, I want you to get the rest of the Spirit of God. But if you're not tending to this stuff at home, then you come to church only to rest and not to serve. Listen to me. Everybody look up here real fast. God did not create us to be fat sheep. You've heard me say that before, probably. He does not want us just to receive, 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 and not give it out to somebody. He wants us to serve people. That's why He created us. He called you and I to fellowship with Him first, and then fellowship with like believers. Well, when we take on the burdens of everybody and we don't have proper rest, then a lot of times we try to get it at church, and then we can't effectively serve at the church. That's why not very many people in a church are really out doing what just a few do. And usually just the few is what helps run the church. And I'm talking about the building part where we meet again. But when we are rested, and I'm not talking about a lack of knowledge, don't know how to serve, and don't have enough biblical knowledge or scriptures memorized to be able to serve and do something for God. Come on, don't think that way. God just wants you to be a servant. How about just being a blessing to somebody? But when you give out, you don't feel like saying anything good to somebody. You're needing them to say something good about you. You see, there's something about resting, and it's causing the body of Christ to not function the way God wanted us to function. We get into the flesh so easy. Me included. Y'all have heard some of my stories. I mean, I've had to almost whip several old men on the highway. I mean, I don't have to remind you of the Chick-fil-A story at the National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas, do I? If I had proper rest, then I would have handled things a whole lot differently than I did that day with my son in the right seat and my wife behind me. Y'all remember Seth saying, Dad, I think you handled that very badly. And I wasn't totally rested and redeemed at the time in my mind. So I looked at him and said, shut your mouth, boy. I created you and I will take you out of this world. I'll create another one of you. Of course, Jamie's like, no, you won't. She's quiet in the back, remember? And then after I come to myself like the prodigal son and said, God, I don't know why I acted that way. And I repented and said, y'all, I'm wrong. That's immediately when my wife spoke up for the first time. That's right, you were. Woman. Silent. You can't effectively serve others when you're exhausted, y'all. We need rest. Here's the fifth thing, and I'll close. The fifth reason that we desperately need rest today is that it enables us to reflect. We can think about some things. It enables us to realign, to refocus on what really is important. I mean, how about a few of these examples like... I need to rest and realign and rethink. Am I headed in the right direction in life? I mean, am I in the blessing of God, or am I standing on the bank watching everybody else be blessed? Do I need to make changes or adjustments in my life? I mean, we can make them for everybody else. But do I need to make adjustments in my life? You see, when you got proper rest, you're able to calm down and think about a few things here. Do I need to make myself properly fulfill some roles in my life? Are there areas in my life that needs more attention? I mean, the things that I'm weak. Remember when the word says, let the weak say I'm strong? I mean, why don't we focus on the strength so that the weak will line up with the strength? But sometimes we need to go, you know what, I am weak in those areas, so let's get strong. And the way we get strong is how? How about the Word of God? How about speaking the Word of God? But how about rest so that we can actually be energized to deal with the things that we're weak in and not just, what's a good word, Holy Ghost? Accepting and staying where we're at in those weak areas. No, I want to work on some things that I might be weaker on. And I know God brings in the, you know, like Jamie. I mean, I'm one. I told someone the other day, I just want to go. Let's go. If I'm traveling, I want to stop at the hamburger place and get something to go and get to the destination. And Jamie's like, no, we're going to sit down. Let's calm down. And I have to make myself, okay. You know, so God puts those people in your life, and thank God for that. But am I properly fulfilling my role, my calling? And am I doing it with integrity, praise God? Am I further along spiritually today than I was 5 years ago? Or am I just the saved one, got the helmet of salvation on? I never pick up that word of God except when we come to church. I might pray every now and then during the meal if we don't forget and we're eating too fast. What should I focus on next? Proverbs chapter 14 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his ways, but the folly of fools is deceit. You see, there's something about rest. And I don't know about y'all, I need it. I need rest to effectively minister behind. I mean, you ask Rusty, you get to the ranch, oh, and you have a lot of property. There is a lot of stuff always to do. I mean, I know y'all that own a half an acre think there's a lot. No. When you own acreage, there's always something. I went out in the pasture at 9 o'clock last night, and there was a brand new baby on the ground. Oh, man, that joys my heart because, see, that's fruit. I like that baby. You know what my mind thought, though? I've been seeing a lot of coyotes. And Brandon told me that he saw a group of about 20 around where he lives, and he only lives about 5 miles as the crow flies, probably. So I'm thinking, oh, man. Well, then, when I'm resting, though, I decide, well, God, you just take care of that little baby and Pedro. Well, Pedro's the donkey, okay? So I'm trusting in the Lord and Pedro. Amen. Because that donkey takes care of business, hopefully. Doesn't he? I mean, he tried to run me off one day. He tried to run Seth all around. Well, he's just trying to protect, see? I'm going to just trust that God will take care of that little baby, see? But my mind could have started rolling, man. Well, I'm doing it at 9, remember? I'm doing it late at night. I've already gone through a whole day. I went to a roping in Gainesville, somewhere about an hour and a half down the road. I rode two horses, and, I mean, it was windy. I could hardly swing my rope. It was so windy yesterday. And I drove home, and thank God I had help. You know. Oh, listen to me. There's something about chilling out and resting in the Lord. Wouldn't y'all agree that it's time to stop trusting in self and rest and trust God? Because see, remember, that's what rest really means. So I appreciate London. I appreciate a teenager sleeping so much now. Well, kind of. I think this rest is so important. So here's what I want to do. We've got 6 or 7 minutes before quitting time officially in church. It's official, you know. I never follow it, though. If you need rest, you're tired emotionally, physically, and I don't even care if it's because of some sickness and junk that has attacked your body and it's tiring you out. Maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's finances, maybe it is all kinds of things that are coming to the mind to try to defeat you. If that's you, let's get some rest right now. Stand to your feet. If that's you, just stand up. Let's get rest. Let's get some rest. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, receive this prayer right now. I'm not going to have you lay hands on people because everybody's standing. But, man, we all need the rest of the Lord. I want to make the right decisions, right? I want to do what's right. So let's receive it right now. An anointing is here right now for you to truly, look at me just real fast. Don't bow your head yet. An anointing is here by the Spirit of God, that an anointing of rest is going to come on every single person here and watching that is willing to receive it. And that when that rest comes, it's going to give you the ability to cast every care on the Lord Jesus. And when you go to sleep tonight, you're going to have the most peaceful rest if you'll receive the anointing of rest in your life right now. I mean, you have a will, so you can override this prayer. And you can still take on the burdens of all the things going on in your life. Or you can trust God right now. You ready? Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, get your hands up. You just get them up and receive this. Every single person that is standing or watching or wanting to receive, the rest of you, sir, I thank you, Lord, for that anointing to come on them now. In Jesus' name, glory be to God. Come on, say amen to that. Say, I receive it. Thank you, Lord, for rest. We cast all cares upon you. You take care of the things that are going on in our lives. We're not worrying about it any longer. You tend to it. Matter of fact, sir, Jesus has already died for it. We're redeemed. We're forgiven. We live in grace. We're the head. We're not the tail. We're above. We're not beneath. We rest in you, therefore good things will happen to us today in Jesus' name. Shout amen, y'all. Now, God, rest. Rest. Stop trying to do everything. Rest. You'll make more money if you'll rest so you can be recharged to go and do more. Stop having to do everything and miss church. Because you're working all the time. Rest in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Sit down for just 1 second and listen real fast. I want everybody in here to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I receive Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the Lord of my life. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. When I leave this earth, when I die of this flesh, I'm coming to heaven and not hell. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me learn about you, for resting in you. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast, heads bowed and eyes closed. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus this morning, you, before you prayed the prayer, you didn't know what would happen to you if you died. You've never made Jesus the Lord, the Lord, the Lord of your life, but you did just now. You confessed it, you believed it. If that was you, when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand up and put it right back down. You're signifying that you prayed the prayer, you asked Jesus to come into your life for the very first time, and when you leave this earth and die, you're going to heaven. You are saved, you're born again, and you made it final this morning. If that's you, get that hand up at the count of three. Ready? One, boldness. Two, three, go. Thank you, thank you. Appreciate it, both of you. Anybody else? Just get the hand up, put it right back down. All you're doing is saying, yes, I need a Savior. All right, look at me. Two people said yes. Listen, I appreciate y'all. Because, listen to me, that means y'all are my sisters in Christ. When I'm hurting, I need y'all. When you're hurting, you got a big family. Amen. Let's start getting rest. Amen. Did y'all enjoy the message? Oh, I did. When I preach to me. All right, before we're dismissed, some really cool things are happening. Starting May the 1st, listen real carefully, because again, a lot of people come and join this church, and a lot of people get saved. So here's what we're starting on May the 1st. That's in 3 weeks, 3 Sundays from right now. We're going to start 3 classes at 9 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at this church. Every single Sunday, we're going to have 3 classes, and I hope all of you get involved. But the very first class is a new members and a new believers class. Judge Stout, would you stand up? That's who's going to be teaching it. Now, you want to go to it because she is anointed to teach new believers and people that just join our church that wants to learn about what we believe. You might get graduated very fast to the next class, but if you're a new believer, you just got saved, I don't care how old you are. I know people, by the way, that's been saved for, 20 years that need to go to the new believers class. I mean, we just don't know sometimes. And if you want to be a part of the new believers class, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. I want you to go fill it out so we can kind of know which class and how many chairs we're going to need. Be a part of that and show up every time you can. Amen. The second class that we're starting on May the 1st is a new step class, or the next step class. Alan, would you stand up? This is who's going to be teaching it, Alan Steele. Now listen to me. A next step is a new believer getting more mature. And if you've been saved for any length of time, then you might need to go in there and just get refreshed on some of the things. How about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And starting to learn about that. As a Baptist, boy, I didn't ever learn about, what is that tongue stuff? Is that of the devil? I heard some of that stuff. Well, I want to know. I want to be able to raise my hand and say, what does that mean? What is the book of Acts talk about when it talks about, the day of Pentecost? Well, that's what that class is going to be for, more mature, learning the Word of God. Amen? Now, this is not supposed to do away with our Tuesday night Bible study where we all come together. There's about 50-plus coming now, y'all. And it is a good, good thing. That's where you really get fellowshipped on Tuesday night. So don't miss that. Here's the third class, though. The third class that we believe is, and Alyssa's not here, right? Alyssa Burkham is going to start a class. It's a woman's class. If you're a woman and you just want to start getting more into the Word of God and feel secured around women, that class is going to be very important for you. And it's going to be 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Be a part of it, y'all. And so Alyssa will introduce her next week or the next week. And And it's going to be an awesome thing. 3 weeks, May the 1st, is where we're going to start those classes. All of those classes, we need to know that you want to be a part of them. And just fill it out. I want to be a part of the women's class. I want to be a part of the next step class. Or I want to be a part of the new members, the new believers class. Amen? All right. Here's something that I'm starting today as well, real fast, is I want to start a Cowboy Church business directory. Listen to me. How many of you know we're in the family of God? There's someone that does every single trade in this church. If you need something done, you'll be able to find it in this church. You may need a realtor. You might need insurance. You might need pest control. You might need a plumber. You might need an electrician. I don't know what it might be. You might need someone just to come build a fence or a gate or something. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, if we start networking with our own church, you know why I bought so many Fords? It's because John Jernigan worked at Ford. I kept the place open, y'all. You ask John Jernigan. I mean, John, you don't work there anymore, so there's a Jeep Wagoneer out there that just got bought. Sorry. You know why, though? Because she ordered a Ford, and it still hasn't been made. And the Jeep Wagoneer called and said, "We got one in for you." Well, I was very faithful to that man right there because he worked there. Matter of fact, the reason he has diamonds on is because of me. I'm kidding. Listen, there's a lot of trades, people that sew, that I don't care what it is. There's a place in the back on that table where Heidi is, that I want you to give a business card or put your name and number of your business. And we're going to make a directory, and we'll put it on the website, but we'll make a list that all of us, we're going to start doing business with people in our church that we trust. And if you're not a professional business, you'll get weeded out. So be professional. Amen. Be honest. Have a good price that's competitive. Amen. And we're going to use you. And so we're starting that on May the 1st as well. So we need to start getting your business or your craft or your trade or whatever it might be. And we got welders, my Lord. We got welders in this place that people need. Amen. And so don't be afraid to put those down, because we want to be a blessing. Also on May the 1st, a lot of things are happening, is when we're going to do the rodeo volunteer meeting, May the 1st. Don't miss May the 1st, because we need a lot of volunteers for the largest event in Liberty Hill, which is our rodeo. We need concession help. We need arena help. We need people maintaining trash and bathrooms and all the things, parking. We have people that just park because it gets chaotic. I believe we'll have a carnival, and so the parking with trucks and trailers and all that, the ticket people. I mean, the Bowens, I mean, they have a system down to collect money, because that's really what helps us pay for the rodeos. And so, anyway, and then finally, Easter eggs. Next week is Easter. Don't miss the largest service. Now, I'm not afraid to tell you, because it'll get out anyway, but this is the first year in years that I'm not going to be here. So I've got Trey Johnson, who I started in the ministry, to come and preach on Easter. Now, here's why. I used to go to California for years, and so many people were born again. And so they called me, and Ricky Green made the national finals in the team roping for years. And Daniel Green, Ricky now went to heaven. Daniel Green is a son of Vernon Green, his dad. And his dad went to heaven as well this last year. And they're doing, for the first time in probably 10 to 15 years, a church roping that I used to do 10 years in a row. And I was never at our church. And it was like, I got to get back. They asked me to do this memorial for 1 year. And so this 1 year, I'm going to head to California on Thursday, and I'm going to come back home, and I'm going to preach. Churches are stopping their services to come to a rodeo arena to hear me preach. I believe there's going to be hundreds and hundreds born again. Thousands will come. We've always used to have thousands. It's in a little town of Ceres, California, Oakdale, California, in that area. And I want you to be praying for me and Jamie as we fly out of California. But don't miss this service, because Trey Johnson and our band are going to stay here, and it's going to be a fantastic Easter service. And then I'll be back next year. Amen. I'll be back at Easter next year. I'm not missing a year. Amen. Easter eggs is the reason I brought all that up. If you didn't bring Easter eggs today, please bring them before. We need them filled, Easter eggs that are filled. And we don't mind letting the kids have fun, but we're going to teach them what the meaning of Easter is. It's the resurrection of Jesus, and not celebrating an Easter bunny or an egg. Amen? But we're going to let them have fun, and that's just the celebration of it. Amen? All right, I think that's it. Water, man, if you need, we only have 4 cases of the 1 liters left, but I got a whole truckload out there. So if you want, if people need it, then I'll send someone out to get some 1 liters, and then I think we've got plenty of water. And remember, the water is what, we're the only distributor in this area. John goes to the markets and sells the water, but hey, man, it's a godly water, and it's the best water I know of. So get it here and not buying these other tap waters and stuff. Man, buy our own water. Amen. Any other news? Rodeo? Sponsorship. Do we need more? We need more sponsorships, or scholarships, or whatever is needed, and we have all of our people here to help you sponsor the rodeo. They told me this morning it's going to cost another $7,000 just to run power to where we're putting the speakers for, you know, and that's our. He goes to church here. He's our electrician, and it's his cost on the wire, $5,000 just for the wire to run it. And so that's why we need sponsors, because we're having to do a lot of stuff to get the ready for the rodeo. So if you want to be a sponsor or know somebody that wants to put a banner up, sponsor one of the events, whatever it might be, make sure you see Rick. Rick, stand up. Mike, stand up in the back. And the only one not here is John Clark. He goes to another church that's on the committee. So, amen. Stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed. Love y'all. Come back Tuesday night for Bible study, and then if not, we'll see you when I get home. Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for people that got saved, delivered, healed, set free, rested. We receive the rest of the Lord. We love you, sir. You don't stay here. You never leave us. You don't forsake us. You get to go with us right now. We love you so much, sir, in Jesus' name. Shout amen if you agree. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.